I'm your host, Ben Kerr, and with me, as always, is Dave Gove. Dave, are you ready for the new NHL season?
I am. I'm excited for quite a few things. I don't know about you, but I'm excited for Vegas. I'm excited to see what the NHL does, especially regarding their 100 years in the new century we're moving into. I'm excited to see what else some teams do, but I think it's going to be a little rocky, especially during the Olympics. So, I don't know. It's just going to be an interesting season.
Yeah, I think before we get into our NHL preview, Dave, you watched some preseason hockey. What do you think of the two new rules, the face-off rule and the slashing rule? Because I have very different thoughts on each of those two rules, so let's see what your thoughts are.
The face-off rule, I think it's I don't think face-offs are that big of an issue. I think it was just the rule for the sake of trying to appease certain people. I don't really think it's going to end up – I think it's going to be one of those rules that isn't enforced all that much. It's going to supposedly look good, but that seemed like an unnecessary rule for me. But as far as slashing goes, if you can decrease slashing, I am all for it, especially after some of the injuries we've seen, so – pretty much. I like one. I don't like the other as much.
Yeah, I'm of the same mind. I mean, the face-off rule to me is the NHL's a business. Their business is in entertainment. And no one was complaining about face-offs. I had not heard one fan, one media person, no one complaining that face-offs were unfair and that that was a problem in the game. So I don't know why this was a problem that the GMs felt they needed to fix, but apparently it was. I think it's kind of pointless, and I think the NHL is wasting their time when they could fix so many other issues that they have. The second one is slashing. I think is absolutely a good rule. I think that there was too much slashing going on, especially after the crackdown on obstruction. This was the new way of checking players. And if people started slashing, and we started seeing injuries to people's hands, the most famous one being Mark Methot's finger. So I think the NHL, you know, you need to keep your players on the ice. You want the best players playing in as many games as possible. And so take away one of the ways that that people's hands get injured, which is with those slashes. So I think that's a good rule.
I find it interesting that they made a rule for something that – most prominently, Sidney Crosby did, but he never really got any discipline for it. So,
yeah. Our third rule change of the winter that will have some effect, and I've been calling for this one for a while, is something to be done about limiting the offside challenges. And they've done that by making it a two-minute penalty if you get the offside challenge wrong. So I think there will be less offside challenges this year.
Hopefully. I still think the system doesn't work as well as it could. I wouldn't mind seeing something like the NFL does, where you just review any scoring play. I mean, it takes a couple minutes, but to me, it just seems ridiculous that this still continues to be an issue, and I still think that it's not done the best way it could. So, but hopefully, it'll make the game better. We'll see.
Yeah, I just think the offside, it needs to be very clear offside to really get me upset. This ticky-tack stuff, I'm not a fan of, but we talked about that a lot last year. All right, into the NHL preview. Let's start way over in the Eastern Conference. We'll start in the Metro Division, and we'll ask the question, Dave, can anyone knock off the Pittsburgh Penguins this year, or are they the favorites to win a third straight Stanley Cup?
On paper, I think that they're still the favorites. But obviously, I mean, three-peating is extremely difficult. I think that in this day and age, with injuries, they didn't seem to affect the Penguins as much as they thought they would last year, so who knows, but you can't expect to win, and I think if you had to take the field versus the Penguins, you would take the field to bet on right now. So, but I do think that they are the best team going into this year. So, it's hard to say, but I think that come playoff time, we'll see. Obviously, that's going to be a different beast, but I like them a lot, and I don't really know if anybody else, especially, there's a couple teams that maybe I could see hanging with them as far as speed and skill-wise goes, but I mean, with the combination of leadership and experience, unless their goaltender gets hurt and they don't have that insurance that they had before, I don't see them doing anything less than Eastern Conference Finals at this point.
To me, the Penguins are the best team in the Metro Division. And last year we had a heck of a race in the Metro Division between four teams all over 100 points. I feel like the Penguins have gotten better from last year because Chris Letang is healthy. And their major losses are Chris Kunitz, Trevor Daley, and Marc-Andre Fleury. I feel like they're a better team than they were. And I feel like their three main rivals from last year have all gotten a little bit worse. And we'll talk about that as we go through the teams. But to me, the Penguins are the best team in the division. And I think they're, like you say, they're the best team in the NHL. Best team in the NHL doesn't always win the cup, and three-peating is hard, especially with the number of games and the wear and tear that will be on this roster. But even with that, I think that right now, I would take the field, obviously, but if you told me I could only take one team, that one team would be Pittsburgh. I consider them the favorite at this point.
Yeah, I mean that division's still going to be tough, though. I mean, you never know what's going to happen. I think the Capitals are definitely still going to make a push. I think Columbus will be good again. But I think that they played a little above their head last year. We'll see with the changes and the trade. I think that they did improve and that they will be better, but I don't know if they'll still be good enough to compete with the Penguins. So.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same mindset. I think Columbus played over their head last year. I think Bobrovsky was unhuman last year, and I don't think you can expect the goalie to be that good 2 years in a row. And I think even though Columbus got a little bit better with adding Panarin, Prasad, and a couple of other moves they've made over the summer, they did lose Sam Gagner though. But I still think Columbus is a little bit better on paper. But that team last year had a 16-game winning streak or 17-game winning streak. I don't think you can do that again, and I don't think that they can get quite as many points as they did. I think there's a bigger gap between Pittsburgh and them than we saw last year. I think the Capitals as well have lost a little bit with guys like Justin Williams and Marcus Johansson and Kevin Shattenkirk all leaving the Capitals team. They've also lost some depth throughout their lineup, so I think the Capitals may not quite be as good as they were the last couple of years.
I think
they're still talented. I mean, they're still a top team, but just a little bit of a step back.
Yeah. I personally think the only two teams that got markedly improved over last season would probably be Carolina in that division, I should say. And I think Columbus is going to be better too. I think another year of Zach Werenski getting, you know, more mature. I don't know. I mean, obviously, he could have a sophomore slump, but I think Columbus and Carolina are the only two teams that are going to be better. I think Washington is going to be worse, and I think the Rangers will be worse. Philadelphia, and I think, is still going to be somewhere in the middle. New Jersey's terrible. The Islanders are terrible. So I don't know about you, but I see three playoff teams there and then a lot of question marks.
See, I think the Rangers got worse, losing depth up the middle in Derek Stepan and not really adequately replacing that. I don't think they're as good, but they did get Kevin Shattenkirk on the blue line. So that was one move that the Rangers did make. They do get a little bit older, though, and Henrik Lundqvist is 1 year older, and their backup goaltending position is nowhere near as good. With Andre Pavlik instead of Antti Raanta. So I think the Rangers, about the same, but not, maybe a little bit worse. The Islanders, I do feel, got better with Jordan Eberle for Ryan Strome. They did lose Hamonic, but I do think they're a little bit better with Ryan Pollock coming in and taking his place on the blue line, but the upgrade up front. But I think that they're, you know, right around fighting for a wild card. I don't think they're fighting for the division. I think they're in the same spot last year where they're a bubble team that it comes right down to the end. I did think Carolina got significantly better. I agree with you there. I really like the upgrade in goal, which was a move Carolina needed to make. Philly gets better long term with Nolan Patrick. But let's not forget that they've lost Braden Schenn. So I don't think that the Patrick as a rookie replaces what Braden Schenn as a veteran did. So I think they stay pretty much status quo. I think New Jersey's going to be one of the worst teams in the NHL. Just no defense on that team, and they're in tough with who they're playing in their division.
Regarding the Flyers, has the league figured out Shane Gostisbehere? I mean, he had a sophomore slump, but he doesn't have the size to play a physical game defensively. So if he's not contributing offensively, what do they got back there right now? Renko Gudas is okay, sure, but
their defense is so young, and it's going to get better. It's so young.
It will, but it's not going to be better than last year. So I don't know how that team is going to be better than or.
I don't know. I think they're status quo. I think even Ivan Provorov is better as a second-year player. I think he takes a step forward. I think Gostisbehere is not as good as he was as a rookie, but is a little bit better than he was last year. I do like guys like Travis Sanheim and Sam Morin who are coming in this year. I know Sanheim's expected to go back down to the minors, but they also have Robert Hagg. They're bringing in a lot of talent, and then Philip Myers will be down the road. That defense will get better, but yeah, for this year, I think they're status quo, and I think they're going to be on the outside looking in. They might be in an eight-team division. They might be the seventh-best team in that division right now.
I think that they could be worse than last year. I mean, they didn't upgrade a goaltender either, really. Brian Elliott was terrible last year at times.
No. Yeah, I can see. And I think, like I said, I think they're the seventh-best team in the eight-team division. I don't think they're terrible, but I don't think they're really a threat to make the playoffs either. And I think that they're a team, like I said, I rank them with the number one prospect pool in all of hockey. So I see them getting better sooner rather than later.
Fair.
I just don't think it'll be this year. I think they're going to be seventh in that division this year. All right. So that's the Metro. Anything we haven't touched on in that division, Dave?
Well, we don't really need to touch much on them because they're still terrible, but I'm excited to see what Nico Hischier does and how, I don't know if how much of an impact he's going to make, but he is somebody that's really exciting to watch. So he's pretty much the only one on that team I'm super stoked to watch.
Yeah, I am as well. I think he's had an outstanding preseason. I am stoked to watch Hischier in regular season games. I think he's a real threat to win the Calder Trophy. And I need to do my top 100 prospects list. I haven't done it. I apologize. I went to Portugal. Sorry, fans. I did take a bit of a vacation in September. But I do need to put that together. I did get out the organizational lists, and that's out. But my top 100 prospects should be coming down the pipe within the next 2 weeks. It is quite a chore to put it together. I'm not going to lie to you. To put together a top 100 and rank everybody, it's something that takes me some time.
How dare you?
He sure will be up there, though. I would guess. I haven't finalized anything yet, but I would guess he would be in the top five.
I agree. I think going into the season, he's going to be my Calder favorite to start, so.
Moving over to the Atlantic Division. Last year, you know, one of the most interesting teams, and they are my team, for the offseason was the Montreal Canadiens. There was a lot that went on in Montreal this summer, Dave, and a lot of pieces changed. Jonathan Drouin is the number one center now, as I predicted on this show. They were going to give him the reins at number one center and give him every opportunity that Alex Galchenyuk didn't get. And Alex Galchenyuk's going to go to the wing on the second line. And Drouin, they will live with defensive deficiencies and hope to make him into a number one center. So that's a bit of a change. Alex Radulov's out. Also in Montreal is Charles Houdon, who had an excellent preseason, and Alice Hemsky, who looks to be starting on the fourth line. There's a lot going on there. The defense, the left side, is completely changed from last year. We're looking at Victor Mete, a 19-year-old, playing top pair with Shea Weber. Whether he lasts beyond the 9-game mark, I don't know. But he's in there. And then Carl Alsner looks like an upgrade on Alexei Emelin. And David Schlemko is hurt right now, but it's supposed to be minor. He should be back in a couple games. And he looks like an upgrade over Nathan Beaulieu. So, to me, the Canadians changed a whole lot of pieces. But essentially, I look at them and go, this is the same team that is going to have problems up the middle and have problems scoring enough goals. Should have a slightly better power play than last year, as I think Jonathan Drouin is one of the best power play guys in the NHL. I think he's just a pure power play weapon. And still have Shea Weber back there and Alex Galchenyuk and Max Pacioretty. And, of course, you've got Carey Price in net. And I think you've downgraded in some spots, losing guys like Markov. You upgraded the other defenseman that I talked about. I still think this is the team to beat in the Atlantic, and I think they're very similar from last year. And I think they're good enough to win the division, but not good enough to compete for the Cup. What do you think, Dave?
I like how you said somebody on your team had a great preseason when you started like 0-6. I'm just kidding. The Canadians look pretty terrible to start. But yeah, Houdon, no disrespect to him, I'm just joking. Anyway, you think your team's going to win the division again, huh? Well, I don't think you're going to win the division again. I think you will make the playoffs, but I don't really feel like your team's better. I mean, you do watch them closer than I do. I am not a huge fan of Jonathan Drouin playing center, personally, but that's from an outsider's perspective. I don't see him as much. I am curious to see what happens on the back end. I mean, I don't think Victor, how did you pronounce it?
Because
are you, if that's correct? Okay, I'm trusting you. So I thought I heard somebody else pronounce it differently. So, but I doubt he'll stay up past 9 games. So then what are you going to do to replace him?
Who's
going to be your sixth guy there? And how good is your defense if anybody goes down?
I think the sixth guy is sitting in the AHL and is Jacob Jerebek or Jerebek.
Oh, you're going to have a young guy either way, bro.
Yeah. So I think
I'm not overly thrilled with anybody beyond Shea Weber and on your back end at this moment. So I don't know. I mean,
I think, like I said,
I think you're a playoff team still. Yeah, Petrie's fine, but I don't really see a lot of depth on your defense, and I don't know if you're going to have enough scoring to make up for it. I mean, I guess Shea Weber will contribute a lot offensively too, but to me, I'm not as optimistic as you, but
I see a whole bunch of moving parts, but even with that, I still see this essentially, and the advanced stats actually back me up on this. Essentially, the team got no better and no worse over the summer. They made a lot of moves to essentially clean up a lot of cap space, but not actually get worse or get better over the course of the summer. And that's what the advanced stats seem to suggest.
Do you think Paul Byron can do what he did again?
No, I don't think Paul Byron's going to score 20 again. But yeah. I don't think that Brandon Gallagher is going to score 10 either.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't think both Brendan Gallagher and Thomas Plekanec are going to total 20 goals. Those two guys at 20 goals was an exceptionally low season for both of them, and that's a combined number. I'd expect close to 20 from each of them, and I think Paul Byron probably falls down to 10 to 15. Like I said, it's moving parts, but essentially the same outcome. The second best team in the division for me is a team that missed the playoffs last year, and that's the Tampa Bay Lightning. They get Steven Stamkos back. They have Sergachev, who is part of the Drouin trade, in their top four defense. I don't like adding Dan Girardi, but he's going to play on their third pair. They can't get any more injured than they were last year, so they're going to be a lot healthier. Kucherov proved to be an NHL superstar last year. Victor Hedman proved to be an NHL superstar last year. I think Tampa takes a big jump up the standings.
Oh, yeah, and I was going to reiterate a couple of your points, but they were so injured last year, it was hard to see how good they really could be. They need to stay healthy, and if they do, I personally would pick them to win this division. And I think that they are a team that could challenge Pittsburgh in the East, personally. I really like their coach, John Cooper. I think that Tyler Johnson needs to bounce back a little bit. I think Brian Callahan obviously needs to stay healthy, but they added Chris Kunitz, who I think is a good depth player there. And Stamkos is coming back, and that's a guy that when he's playing at the top of his game can be one of the top five players in the league if he's healthy, if he can get his speed back. I doubt we'll ever see that speed back that he had before, but he still has one of, if not the best shots in the league at times. So I'm excited to see what they can do. I think Victor Hedman could win the Norris this year if he plays as well as he did last year and get some offensive help, which will lead to more points for him. I think he is so good both sides of the ice that if he just got a little more help, he'd have to, change up his game a little bit based on all the injuries, and if the rest of that back end can stay healthy. Dan Girardi was a questionable move. He does add some leadership, but I think they're going to have to try to find somebody else in the long run to fill that spot, or get a young guy to come up and help him out there. But I really like Tampa Bay a lot. Mikhail Kucherov is so fun to watch.
The third best team in the division for me is the Toronto Maple Leafs. They barely squeaked into the playoffs last year, but then they gave Washington a run for their money in the first round. They've gotten better by adding Patrick Marleau this summer, and he has two goals in their first game, which is going on right now. It's not quite done, so he might be able to complete the hat trick. Who knows? But he's a big addition up front. They're up front. They're so deep. They're so deep to have guys like Connor Brown on the fourth line, to have guys like Kasperi Kapanen and Miro Altonen in the AHL. And Frederik Andersen's a decent to good goalie. I don't think he's one of the top goalies in the league, but he's certainly in the, somewhere in the 10 to 15 range, and that's pretty good for goaltending as far as that goes. Defense, I'm not convinced about. They did add Ron Hainsey, but lost Matt Hunwick. And they've added a pair of young Swedish defensemen in Borgman and Rosen on the back line. But I'm not sure how good this defense is and if it's good enough for the Leafs to truly compete for the Cup. But I do think that they are a solid playoff team and a top three team in this division. What do you think about the Leafs, Dave?
Yeah, I think that their team... Personally, I think that they're the second best team in that division. I think that I like them better than the Canadiens. I think that they're going to be more exciting, more offensive. We both are concerned about their defense. Ron Hainsey is a guy that's a good analytics player, but he's not flashy on the ice. He does a lot of things well, especially killing penalties and such. But I think you're really going to need to see Morgan Riley and Jake Gardner step up quite a bit. I'm not that familiar with Borgman personally, but he's playing on a third pairing, so we'll see what he can do. And for their sake, you got to hope that Frederik Andersen stays healthy. And that's a concern. If anything happens to him, Curtis McElhaney's terrible. So
Well, the one thing I will say about the Leafs, though, is they were exceptionally healthy last year, only losing. The only big injury they faced was about 4 or 5 games to Morgan Rielly. Other than that, basically their entire top 9 forwards, their entire defense core was exceptionally healthy, and they barely squeaked into the playoffs. So, to me, that's why I don't buy the Leafs are quite up in that upper echelon with Tampa and Montreal, is that I don't think they're going to be... I think they take a step forward, but I think that step forward is mitigated somewhat by not quite having the injury luck that they had last year, which there's no other way to put it when you stay that healthy in an 82-game NHL season.
That's true. They're still young, though, and I think that's part of the reason why they stayed so healthy is you have a lot of young guys that aren't as banged up yet throughout their career, don't have the nagging injuries that they did. So I could still see them being fairly healthy throughout the year. But, last year was ridiculous. Somebody's probably going to go down this year. It'll slow them up a little bit. But when they're fully healthy and they're locked and loaded, I mean, there aren't many teams that are more exciting to watch right now.
No, they have one of the best offenses in the NHL, certainly. And they did last year. That's not a question for me. It's more their defensive game. We've already seen them put up 6 goals tonight, so certainly they can score goals. Although, as we'll talk about...
They're playing the Jets,
actually,
so...
Actually, 7 goals right now. As we'll talk about, the Jets' goaltending has been horrific in this game. We'll talk about that in the Jets later. But the Jets have actually, or I don't know what the numbers are now, but through the second period had badly outshot the Leafs and were just like Steve Mason couldn't make a save. So it's 7 now. Austin Matthews first of the year on a tip play. But we'll see where the Leafs go. Moving down the road from the Leafs in Ontario are the teams fighting, I think, for 4th and 5th will be the Boston Bruins and Ottawa Senators. To me, I think the Bruins are a little bit better than the Senators. I think the Senators vastly overachieved last year, won a ton of one-goal games, had a ridiculous record in one-goal games, didn't have the analytics to back up a stellar season that they had, and are now going into the year with Erik Karlsson at less than 100%. Are going to be missing Derek Brassard for the first few months of the season, and I think the Senators are one of, and are missing Clark MacArthur as well. That takes a hit into their forward group. Also missing Mark Mathot, who left in the expansion draft. I think the Senators take a big step back this year, and they're my team of, you know, what team made the playoffs last year that you don't expect to make it again. For me, it's the Ottawa Senators. I think the Bruins are ahead of them. I like the young talent that has come in Boston. They didn't make a lot of acquisitions over the offseason, but they had a number of young players knocking on the door, like Charlie McAvoy, Jake DeBrusk, some of the forwards that they have on the team, Anders Bjork. Lead amongst them. So that's where I see the middle of this division going. What do you think, Dave, about Ottawa and Boston?
To play devil's advocate here, I'm just going to counterpoint. I will say that for Ottawa, at least, while I do think that they will take a step back, I don't know if it's going to be as drastically as you think, depending on what players do. I think Mark Stone and Mike Hoffman did not have particularly stellar seasons, and if they can bring it back up a little bit, they'll definitely help out in that top 6. Also, Bobby Ryan was dreadful in the regular season, but played great in the playoffs. If he can bring what he did in the playoffs to the regular season, I think that their offense isn't going to be terrible with the other guys. So I think that their offense definitely cannot just rely on Karlsson, especially since he's not 100%, so other people are going to have to step up. It's a matter of whether they can or they can't. With that said, Karlsson lost half of his ankle, and this is a guy that's already had an Achilles injury in the past. I don't know if we'll ever see him. He's still the smartest defenseman at times in the league offensively. He gets the puck to the net all the time, but I don't know. there's no way that with him out, that team is good at all. So they were so bad in comparison to him being off the ice versus on the ice when you look at pretty much all the advanced stats. So if he can't play the majority of the season, yeah, they don't make the playoffs. And if they do, I think they're a bubble team. As far as Boston goes, I'm excited for some of the younger players. It was good to see them lock up Pasternak, but I personally don't have them in the playoffs right now. And I think that part of it is due to their aging core, but also, and I just think that the younger guys just aren't ready to step up yet. And part of it is also just, I need to see more from their defensemen still. I'm not overly sold on anybody being able to replace Chara's number one, especially, you know, on power play or anything else. He's so slow, so he's still going to be out there all the time on everything, but I'm not in love with Boston, and I think that they're going to be on the outside looking in this year. I don't think Brad Marchand does what he does last year.
I can see Boston missing the playoffs, don't get me wrong, but I what I'm saying is I think Ottawa's out. I think Boston's probably fourth in the division.
I would personally flip those. I think Boston's out, and I think Ottawa's a bubble team personally.
Okay. Further down, is this the year the Sabres take a step forward?
That's tough.
I still don't like their defense. I think their forwards are good. I think having Ryan O'Reilly and Jack Eichel for full seasons instead of missing them for about, you know, 10 to 20 games each is going to really help them. I think down the middle, they're very deep. I think their forwards are pretty good. But their defense, to me, really needs a lot of help. And I don't think they can make it. I do like Robin Leonard in goal a lot more than a lot of other people do. I think Robin Leonard is a good goalie stuck behind a bad defense core in front of him.
Yeah, I agree. Ristolainen really needs to start showing a little more in his game. This is not the year that they do it. I think you got to wait one more year. But then I don't know what happens. I mean, Reinhart, I would be nice to see some progression from him too. I do like Kyle Okposo when he's healthy, Evander Kane when he's healthy, but we'll see what happens with those.
All right.
Of course, their biggest addition is Jordan Nolan, who made all the difference when the Kings won their first Stanley Cup. So, who knows? Who knows?
All right. Our next team in the division, Florida. Dave, do you think they're as bad as I think they are? I think that they benefited 2 years ago from being that team that really goes against the grain of their advanced stats and really overachieved. And now this offseason, they have sold off so much, whether it's Jason Demers, whether it's Jaromir Jagr, whether it's Jonathan Marchessault and Riley Smith leaving. The Panthers have cut a lot of salary. And to me, I don't think they're good enough to compete in this division. Or do you see a young team with Barkov, with Trocheck, with Jonathan Huberdeau, and some talented pieces that can do what they did a couple seasons ago?
The only way they're going to do what they did a couple seasons ago is if their first defensive pairing plays out of their mind. I like Keith Yandel and I like Aaron Ekblad, but they can only play half the game, and if this team does manage to bubble or even make a playoffs, I think it's going to be something similar to what we saw with Ottawa, where you have a first-line defensive pairing that dominates and the rest of their team is terrible. Obviously, Roberto Luongo is getting pretty old. He's going to be the third goaltender in league history this year if he plays 34 games to play 1,000. I don't know how much longer he can play at an elite level. James Reimer is a decent backup, but I'm not overly convinced that their forwards are going to get anything done. I am intrigued to see how Dadonov plays with Barkov. But this is not a team I would think is going to be anything better than last or next to last in that division.
Yeah.
Well, no, they're not going to be last because Detroit's in this division.
Yeah. And moving on to Detroit, we both kind of agree this is a bad hockey team, right? Like,
I think they're maybe the worst team in the league.
Okay. I would argue Colorado still is, but Detroit's going to be hoping for the lottery balls to fall their way and get Rasmus Dahlin next April. That's where Detroit's going to be in one of those top tier lottery spots for me.
Yeah. I mean, Peter Mrazek might play great, but their defense is terrible. Cronwall's old. Mike Green isn't as effective as he used to be. Trevor Daley is not a top-line guy on a playoff team. I mean, unless he's playing for Pittsburgh, who's overly stacked. I mean, even then, he's not really top-line defense. I mean, feel a little bad for Zetterberg, but the man's won a lot there, so. You just haven't seen the progression from some of these guys you thought you would.
Yeah, from Nyquist, from Tatar, from
Larkin, yeah,
Larkin, just Anthony. They're just going to be a bad hockey team. All right, so moving to the Western Conference, Dave, we'll go to the Central.
Do we still have a sponsor? Should we shout out?
I think we're changing sponsors, so.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
Yeah, we are changing sponsors, so we will have an announcement for that in the next few weeks. But yeah, this show is going unsponsored.
Okay.
Right.
Sounds good.
All right. So I'll send you an email about that, Dave. So we'll start doing some new sponsorship stuff shortly. In the Central Division, we are looking at the Chicago Blackhawks, first of all, because they've been so dominant in the NHL. Again, it's off season, face salary cap issues. Marian Hossa looks like he's retiring. If not, he's at least not playing this year, but maybe retiring. We've got them making the Panarin for Sad trade. We got shipping Nicholas Harmelson off to the Arizona Coyotes. They get some young guys, and Alex DeBrincat is coming up and made the team. And on defense, Connor Murphy and Cody Franzen are going to be expected to take some big roles, with only really Seabrook and Keith there as their steady stalwarts on that blue line. Does Chicago take another step back here, or are they still a Stanley Cup contender?
Oh, they're taking a step back. For sure. I mean, you could make an argument they might not even make the playoffs this year. So I don't think Jonathan Taves is a great leader. He seems like a good person.
Patrick,
I don't know.
Patrick Kane's still one of the best forwards
he is,
in hockey.
But I mean, you downgraded your top line, and your second line now doesn't have Hossa, which means it's going to be far worse. So. Well, I mean, they have 1A, 1B line, so however you want to do it. But I think that their defense is worse. I think their offense is worse. I mean, Corey Crawford's a decent goaltender, but I don't know that he can carry them all the time. And I think that the other teams in that division have gotten better, so they're going to have harder games night in and night out. And I just don't know if the young guys, like you said, like the Brincat, he's probably not best suited for that division in general, seeing as it's one of the more physical divisions in the league. And unless Patrick Sharp Patrick Sharp's going to be 36. And he didn't have that great of a year last year. Like, what is he going to bring to that team that he couldn't do in Dallas, who has a ton of offensive talent around it, too? And Jonathan Taves doesn't light the lamp the way he used to. So unless Taves finds some way to bounce back and somehow the rest of that offense, you know, clicks, I think Patrick Kane's going to be stuck being the main line, and people are just going to be forced to shut that line down and that line only for the most part. It's I don't think it's looking that great for Chicago this year, personally.
I don't think it's looking great. I don't think there's such a one-player team as you make it sound with Patrick Kane.
Well, no, I don't mean it sound that way. I mean, obviously, Duncan Keith's still great, and they still have a lot of good players. It's just I think Hoss is such a huge loss on both sides. I mean, Hoss is one of the best defensive winger in the league in the last 10 years. I mean, so how can you lose a guy like Hossa who plays, you know, 200 feet every night all the time? Like, that's a guy that's so critical.
Yeah, no, I get you. I think they're not as good as he was with Hossa, but I think Saad and Taves together will be a decent line. I don't know if they're going to put Anisimov and Kane back together. Right now, they've been playing a part to try and spread the scoring out a little bit. But I don't think the forwards are really Chicago's problem. It's taken a step back, no doubt, with no Panarin and no Hossa, but adding Saad and Sharp. But I do think the defense is a problem. Seabrook is not an elite defender anymore. He's not at the level that he was. And you don't have the Sharmelson and Oduya pairing that was so good at penalty killing, so good against other teams' top lines. Duncan Keith is still an elite defender, but I think the defense has taken a big step back, and I think their goaltending is not as good without Darling as a backup. I think Corey Crawford's still a very good goalie. But his backup has gotten worse. So I don't see them as the best team in the division. I'm not even sure if they're a top three team in the division, but I do see them getting into the playoffs. I just have a hard time picking Chicago not to make the playoffs, but I do agree that they're not a cup contender. The best team in the division for me is the team that went to the Stanley Cup Finals, and that's the Nashville Predators. That defense is so good and has gotten even better with I complained a lot about Alexi Emelin last year, but Alexi Emelin was playing on the top pair with Shea Weber. Alexi Emelin and Yannick Weber as your third pair behind those top four defensemen who play 90% of the game, that defense is stacked. The forwards with Ryan Johansson healthy, with Jarnkroc takes a step forward. I think Nick Bonino was a nice addition there. I think Kevin Fiala takes a step forward. I think Pontus Aberg takes a step forward. I really like what Nashville has. And then in goal, I don't know what you're going to get out of Pekka Rinne, but if he's not good, UC Saros will be good. So one of those two goalies will be very good for that team, and I think Nashville could win that division.
I agree. They're my favorite to win that division right now, especially after their run that they had. I think they have good coaching in Peter Laviolette, and I think that they've matured and they've grown. They've gotten a little bit better. Their second line is still a little iffy. I don't know that they'll be the best offensive team in that division, definitely not, but their first line is ridiculous, and I'm not that concerned about goaltending either. I think they have one of the best backups in the league, so as long as they stay healthy, I think that they will probably be one of, if not the best defensive teams in the league, and they'll get enough offense out of those guys to push them to the top.
Right. Second place team in the division last year was the Minnesota Wild. Where do we see them going after an offseason where they didn't make a whole lot of moves? Are the Wild as good as they were a year ago? Not many changes there. Most of the Wild salary cap space was spent on re-signing Mikael Granlund and Nino Niederreiter.
This is tough for me. I mean, I don't hate their team, but I just don't love it either. I think that they're going to be a team that's going to be probably a playoff team, but they're going to be kind of pushing on the bubble. They'll, have some ups and downs. I don't know if an older Koivu, older Staal, if they can't get it done. I haven't seen enough out of their younger guys, except for maybe Coyle at times. But, I mean, Jason Zucker had a step back last year, over 2 years ago. And I'm not in love with their offense, but I think their defense is quietly, okay. So will we see Devin Dubnyk continue to do what he did? I don't know. he's a question mark to me. I would like to see another good year out of him before, you know, saying that he's a fantastic goaltender, so.
Yeah, I think to me, Eric Staal's takes a step back, but I still think that that team is good enough to be one of the top three teams in the division, but again, not a true cup contender like some of the other teams we've talked about. I think they do take a bit of a step back, though, from last year, and I think a lot rides on Dubnyk. Like you said, Dubnyk has to play at that Vezina candidate caliber level for them to be a really elite team. If not, they're just a good team. The St. Louis Blues are an interesting case because they have so many injuries right now. I would have said the Blues were the second best team in this division. People are losing Robbie Fabry for the season. People are Alex Steed and Patrick Berglund and Dave Bomeister and all the other injuries that the St. Louis Blues have taken. And to me, the big question mark is what Jake Allen do we see? Jake Allen was horrendous for half a season last year and tremendous for half a season last year. So those are the big questions that I see in St. Louis is what do they do with all these injuries? How quickly can they get those guys back? You know what Tarasenko and Jaden Schwartz and those guys are going to do, but do they have enough depth with all the injuries? You know what Alex Pietrangelo and Colton Parayko are going to do on the blue line, but how do the injuries affect them there, and what goaltender are you going to get? So St. Louis, to me, has maybe one of the hardest teams in the NHL to get a real handle on. I think they could go anywhere from being a cup contender to being out of the playoffs, depending on how big these question marks are.
Yeah, I think, I would really like to see Colton Parayko play up to his potential. Another thing to add, though, even with the injuries, is they did get Braden Schenn. So it'll be interesting to see what he can do for that team. I think that their offense obviously was looking fantastic until they had these injuries, and now it's just looking good. But this is a team that, when they're fully healthy, can beat anybody at times. It's just I'm not overly convinced that they'll win this division, especially with Nashville. And I think they will be one of the top three teams, though. I think we will see them in the playoffs, personally. So.
All right. Next, we go to the offseason's most improved hockey team, the Dallas Stars. Whether it's solving the longstanding goaltending issue with Ben Bishop, whether it's adding Mark Methot to a defense corps and also bringing up Julius Honka from the AHL, whether it's adding Alex Radulov and Martin Hanzel to an already dangerous forward core, how good can the Dallas Stars be? Can Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin stay healthy? If they do, that Benn, Seguin, and Radulov line might be the best first line in the NHL. How good can the Dallas Stars be? I think they're the second best team in the division to me right now.
Yeah, I think also they have a coaching change. They brought in Ken Hitchcock, who obviously has some experience against, say, St. Louis. He's won a cup with them. And if this team, while they improved, I still has question marks, I believe, on their defense. You got John Klingberg, who's obviously going to be your number one guy, but I am not overly convinced anyone else on their defense is really a game changer. And watching Ben Bishop play for my team last year, I'm wondering what goalie he's going to be with that team. If he doesn't, he struggled at times on our team, which is, the Kings have one of the best defenses systems. And with Dallas, I have a question mark of just what we're going to get out of Ben Bishop if his defense isn't good in front of him. So if their defense plays well, I think that they'll be a playoff team. I think they'll be one of the top three teams in the division. And like you said, they have maybe the best line in hockey. So I think we could definitely see Jamie Benn maybe push for an Art Ross Trophy again. But I do have some question marks still. But they are improved. You're right. They're definitely improved. I don't really think losing Patrick Sharp is going to hurt them that much.
Another intriguing team is the Winnipeg Jets. That top six, Nikolaj Ehlers, Mark Scheifele, Blake Wheeler, Patrick Laine, Brian Little. That team can score. The Winnipeg Jets have a heck of a forward group. They have pretty good defense core with Dustin Byfuglien and Josh Morrissey and Jacob Trouba and Tyler Myers and all the defensemen there. But the question in Winnipeg's always been the goaltending. I've always said that Andre Pavlik's one of the worst goalies in the NHL. He's gone, replaced by Steve Mason. Steve Mason had a horrific start tonight. I believe he had given up 4 goals on 17 shots when we started this show at the start of the end of the second period tonight in their first game. Then he gave up a goal early in the third, in the first 30 seconds of the third period, 5 goals on the night, and got pulled. Overall, the Jets gave up 7 goals on 31 shots to the Leafs. In a game that where they really controlled play early and found themselves down 3-0 at the end of the first, 4-0 at the end of the second, despite really controlling most of the first 2 periods of this game. So, is it the same old in Winnipeg, or can they get back into the playoffs? Is Steve Mason enough of an upgrade on Andre Pavlik, or, like I said, is goaltending going to be this team's undoing again?
I think with goaltending, I'm with you. I'm not really convinced Steve Mason's the answer, but I think this is a team, of any team in the league almost, where I feel like they could really just use a coaching change too. I don't really have a lot of confidence in Paul Maurice, and I don't feel like this team ever does either. Like, I don't feel like that you ever feel like they know that they can score at times, but I don't ever feel like they feel like they're going to, you know, put a team away or really dominate. Like, you don't really see a passion with this team at times. Like, I think Patrick Laine came in, and he's a guy that's passionate and, you know, he does things, but the most excitement I've seen out of them recently was, you know, Blake Wheeler posting stuff on Twitter. Like, this team is could be fun. I just, there's something missing there, and I really think that they need some sort of change in their system beyond just the players, and I'm not at all convinced that this team will even be a bubble team. I think that they're going to be bad again just because I don't like the system that they play. I don't think that maybe their upper management needs to change too. And bring in some different guys. This team is one of my least favorite teams in the league right now, personally.
Speaking of bad hockey teams, Dave, you have a team that was historically one of the worst teams, maybe the worst NHL team since the salary cap came into place in 2005 in the Colorado Avalanche last year. And so you'd think that this would be a team that would undergo a major overhaul in the offseason. Well, the biggest change is Mikhail Grigorenko has gone back to the KHL, and Nail Yakupov has been brought in. So that's our big change in Colorado. I know Chris Bigras has been added to the team on the blue line. Francois Beauchemin is gone as well. Calvin Pickard is gone as their backup goalie. Matt Duchene is rumored to be traded every day and never traded because apparently the asking price is too high for the other 30 NHL teams. Is there any way Colorado is not the worst hockey team in the NHL?
No, I think the Canucks could be worse. But, I mean, we'll get to them. I think Colorado will be one of the 2 or 3 worst teams in the league, though. But, yeah, I just complained about Winnipeg's management and coaching. I feel bad almost for the coaching in Colorado to come into this situation with the management the way it is. This is the worst run team in the league right now, barring maybe Florida and some of the stuff they've done. But I don't think even Florida would do to Matt Duchene what Colorado's done. So this is a brutal roster. This is Colin Wilson coming in, as he's not going to be your answer to much. I mean, that's the guy that never did enough in Nashville. Jonathan Bernier coming in to back up isn't going to do anything. It's just, I guess they're just playing for another lottery pick, but I don't have anything good to say about Colorado, I guess. That's hard to say. I mean, I literally have nothing good to say about Colorado, which is really sad, because I try to at least be... I mean, I hope for their sake, at least, Nail Yakupov turns his career around for them, because he is a former first overall pick. He obviously had some talent, but we just haven't seen it develop yet, so who knows?
Lastly, we go to our final division in the NHL, home of the reigning Hart Trophy winner, Connor McDavid. The Edmonton Oilers. Are the Oilers going to be as good as they were last season? Right now, Vegas has them as the second most favored team, second lowest odds to win the Stanley Cup. I don't quite know if I agree with that, Dave. I think Edmonton's very good. I think they're a team on the rise. I like what they're doing with McDavid and Draisaitl. And Kyler Yamamoto was a good pick who's made the team out of camp. Jesse Puljujarvi is down in the minors, and I think he's one of the top prospects in hockey. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins on the third line. Ryan Strome has been added. I think that's a downgrade from Eberle, but they needed to save some money somewhere. Patrick Maroon, Milan Lucic. This team will be able to score goals. One thing, like the Leafs last year, they were remarkably healthy. And we're seeing that health be tested early in this season as Andre Sequeira is going to miss about half the season. He was the Oilers either number two or number three defenseman last year. He's already out. Can the Oilers be as good as they were last year? And are they as good as Vegas thinks they are? To me, they're as good as they were last year, but they're not taking the step forward that the Vegas line has them into being the second best team in the NHL.
Yeah, I'm kind of there with you. I think they will be better, though. It's hard to say that McDavid will be better, since obviously he won the Hart Trophy, but I think Draisaitl is going to be good, especially with his contract situation taken care of. He doesn't have anything hanging over his head. I think we're going to hopefully see more out of Nugent Hopkins, Ryan Strome. Well, maybe with a different system, you know, in place. I think we'll see more out of Darnell Nurse. And I like Adam Larson. I don't think that they have quite enough to be that number two favorite. But I think that they could win this division. And they are not my favorite to win this division personally yet, but I think that they'll definitely give a push to the Ducks at least in that regard. And I, like you said, not a lot of injuries, but this division's so bad. Especially this division got weaker by no fault of their own, but just by scheduling, obviously, now because Vegas is in there. So Edmonton's going to have a good record regardless, as will a couple other teams in this division. And I think Connor McDavid will be right up there again for the Hart Trophy. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Draisaitl be top five in scoring. So,
yeah,
you know what's worse, though, like by far on this team?
Their stupid jerseys.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Thank you.
Wow. I hate those jerseys.
They're brutal.
I hate those jerseys. I really do. They've got to go back to the blue with the orange trim instead of the orange with the blue trim. I really hate those jerseys. But that's neither here nor there. All right. Moving on. I think the Ducks are the best team in the division. I agree with you. Really good roster with the same team that the Ducks have always had. Nick Ritchie being one of the young guys coming in and having a good season last year, looking to step up, starting on the first line with an injury to Patrick Eaves to start the year. Of course, Kessler, Getzlaff, Corey Perry. Same old with the Ducks forwards. To me, what really makes this Ducks team outstanding, though, is their defense. Their defense, 1-6, is as good as anyone in the NHL, maybe the only team that rivals Nashville. And it's Sammy Vatanen and Josh Manson and Cam Fowler and on We go down the list. Brandon Montour coming up as a rookie. This is a team that sacrificed Shea Theodore just to keep their team together. And I know Vatanen is going to miss the start of the season with an injury, but I think eventually the Ducks will just get going and win the division. In goal, they have John Gibson, another youngster who is making a name as an elite NHL goaltender. So to me, the Ducks are the cream of the crop in the Pacific Division. Actually, my favorite, I see the Ducks and the Preds once again in the Western Conference Final, and I think the Ducks are going to the Stanley Cup Final this year.
I have no faith in Ryan Getzlaf as a leader to push them into the final, but aside from that, I think that he will get them probably close again. I think they will need to see Corey Perry do a little better than last year. I think he obviously improved down the stretch, and in the playoffs, he played better too, but Ricard Raquel is a really fun player to watch. I think Silverberg's going to have a better year. I think he might have his best career year this year. I'm intrigued to see what some of the young defensemen, like you said, do, but they have fantastic defensemen. And right now, they're probably going to start slow just because Vatanen and Lindholm are hurt. But I don't think, and Kessler's hurt too. So I think we'll see them start a little slow, but obviously pick it up towards the end. John Gibson's okay. I think that the hype coming out of juniors that he had, he hasn't quite lived up to. But if he does, then this team's going to be even deadlier than they already are. So.
All right. Moving on to what I think the third best team in the division, and that's the Calgary Flames. They picked up Jaromir Jagr this week, addressing a real need on right wing. He's going to be a power play specialist, probably a third liner for them. But if he does what he did in Florida in terms of teaching kids like Sam Bennett and Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau proper training and proper work ethic that Jagr has, and I'm not saying that those guys don't work hard. I'm just saying Jagr works like no one else, and that's why he's able to play in the NHL at 45. And that's what he can teach those kids, as well as his hockey IQ is off the charts, and the little tips and tricks that you can get playing with him, I think will make all the young kids, and Matthew Tkachuk, another one, better on Calgary. They're forward. They seem to have three strong lines. Mark Jankowski, a lot of people laughed at the Flames when they made that pick. He had a really rough post-draft season. His first year of college was really, really rough. Now he's done 4 years of college, 1 year in the AHL. The five-year project is complete, and he was one of the best players in the AHL last year. So Mark Jankowski is going to come in and be a top-nine forward for the Flames. I think that's an addition for them. I don't know what they're doing signing Tanner Glass. That made no sense to me, but I don't see him playing a lot of games. And their defense core is outstanding, especially re-signing Michael Stone and getting Travis Hamonic in a trade. You've got Giordano, TJ Brody, Hamonic, Stone, and Dougie Hamilton on that defense corps. The big question for me with the Flames is in goal. I'm not convinced Michael Smith is as good as some people think he is, especially at his age. I don't think it's a big upgrade over Brian Elliott. I'm not even sure it's an upgrade at all over Brian Elliott. So that's what holds the Flames back into the clear third best team in this division. And they don't really challenge the top two in Edmonton and Anaheim for me.
You're crazy. Sorry. There's no way a team with Mike Smith as goaltender is going to be the third best team in this division. And also, I'm sorry. Okay, well, with Jagr, I agree with you that the leadership and work ethic help, but he's not really going to do much offensively for them.
No,
this team feels soft to me. I don't like their goaltending. Their defense on paper is good, but aside from Giordano and maybe Hamilton, Hamonic. Okay, I take that back. I like their defense though, but I'm not a huge fan of Sean Monahan. I don't think he's a true number one center for a team that's going to make the playoffs and be clutch. I don't know that Sam Bennett is that guy either. And I don't know. I just feel like this team's just going to be a bubble team again, because I just have no faith in their forwards at this point to be clutch when it counts and get the job done. And I know that's stupid and there's no such thing as clutch, but this team's going to fall apart at some point, in my opinion. And I don't know if Jágr can be the glue that keeps them together, then maybe something will change. But as they were until they got Jágr, if he can be that difference in the locker room, I still hate Mike Smith. I don't think that he's going to get him over anything. Right. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs.
I think Mike Smith really holds them back. I agree that's what holds them from being one of the top two teams in the division. But to me,
you have them as top three, though.
See, I'm going to go to my next two teams, other teams in California, and I see some fatal flaws on both of those two squads. I think Calgary's closer to those two squads than they are to the top two teams in this division, though. I will give you that.
That's fair.
But I just think Calgary's a little bit better than those two California teams that I think are flawed. And start with San Jose, and then we'll let you get into LA. To me, San Jose is another year older. Martin Jones is a decent goaltender, but not great. Their defense has a great first pair and actually great first three in Justin Braun, Mark Vlasic, and Brent Burns. But after that, I'm a little unconvinced on San Jose's defense. Up front, Joe Thornton's another year older. Patrick Marleau's left. Haven't really replaced them. Joe Pavelski and Logan Couture need to stay healthy for that team to really do anything. And I just see the Sharks missing a little bit of depth and some key components to be able to really challenge in this division. I think they're a 4-5 team and a bubble team to get in or out of the playoffs.
I do think the Sharks are worse. I still think, worse than last year, but I still think they're better than the Flames. Brent Burns just won the Norris Trophy. He might be the best offensive defenseman in the league this year with Carlson, being not 100%. And I think that you're right about Martin Jones. I thought he would be better personally, but you might have the best shutdown defenseman in the league in Mark Edward Vlasic. And I don't know. I think that they have some young guys that are ready to make that move and fill a void that, Marleau left, or Donskoy, Hurdle could probably have been a little better, but you're right about them needing to stay healthy. But if Couture and Thornton are healthy and they have a good year, they have a great top six, I think that their defense, at least their top two pairs will be fine. And Martin Jones just needs to win them a few games. And I think that they'll still, finish probably third in the division.
All right. The LA Kings, what do you think of your Kings this year?
Oh, we're terrible again.
Yeah, I added Mike Camilleri, but I don't know if that
here's
enough to address the scoring issues.
We need Kopitar to play great. That's the bottom line. And Jeff Carter tried very hard to carry the Kings offensively with that 70s line with Tyler Toffoli and Pearson. He did for, almost half the season before falling off. It's very hard to carry a team as a one-line game. You know what I meant? Anyway, Dustin Brown's never going to be better. He's nothing but worse. Gabrick's hurt again. Camilleri isn't even on one of the top six lines, which is where we are hoping he can maybe fill that void. Right now, at least, he's not. I don't think Adrian Kempe is the answer. If he plays out of his mind, then, you know, maybe help us out offensively. And as far as defense goes, I obviously will still be good defensively with Muzzin, you know, and Doughty. I think Martinez is a little underrated. You know, I think he gets overshadowed by those two, but I think him and Muzzin together make a pretty good pair. So it's just we have no third line at this point. And Jonathan Quick, he's back after being hurt, but if anything happens to him, we don't have a Peter Budaj. We have who knows what right now. Jeff Zafkov cleared waivers, so Quick has to stay 100% healthy pretty much the entire year and not get overworked, and Kopitar needs to actually chip in offensively the way a guy that's paid like him should be chipping in. So if that all happens, I think the Kings make the playoffs, but I don't really think that they're better than the Ducks or Edmonton for sure, and I think they're in that same grouping with San Jose. I just, until I see it from them, I'm going to assume that San Jose is still the better team at this point, and the Kings will probably finish fourth in the division.
Yeah, you still got the Kings ahead of Calgary.
Yeah, I do. I mean, maybe I'm being a homer, but I don't know. Something about Calgary I don't like.
Because I've got the Kings fifth behind San Jose and Calgary. Sixth.
That's fair. I mean, I could easily make an argument for that, too. If the Kings aren't healthy, then it all goes, you know, it all goes down the drain anyway. The Kings, do I really want to do that? No, as a Kings fan, I have to be optimistic. I'm going to put them fourth. But they're right. They're like, you know, a straw that breaks the camel's back here. Anything goes wrong, and they're, you know, maybe last in the division next to
They're not last. They don't finish worse than sixth. They cannot finish worse than sixth because they finish ahead of Vegas and they finish ahead of the Canucks no matter what. Those are the two worst teams in this division. All right. So sixth, to me, is the Arizona Coyotes, and I think they're a dark horse to actually make the playoffs. I'm not picking them to make the playoffs, but I think that they have enough talent that they, if everything goes right for the Coyotes, they could sneak in. I think they're better in goal with Antti Raanta as their starter. I think Derek Stepan gives them a number one center. He's not a true number one center, but he will be their number one center. And that's a big upgrade, and doesn't ask one of the kids to fill that role. I think that Strom is finally ready to play in the NHL, and Dylan Strom will make an impact. I also think Christian Dvorak is ready to make an impact there. My favorite personally for Rookie of the Year is Clayton Keller, a right wing. I think he's immensely talented, and I think he's going to take home the Calder Trophy this year. My favorite rookies to watch. Max Domi is still part of that team as well, and we know what he can do. I expect a bit of a bounce back from Anthony Duclair. I think that their forward group is young and very talented. I think that adding a player like Sharmelson to the back end really helps out the Coyotes. And I think they have one of the best defensemen in hockey who no one really acknowledges as one of the best defensemen in hockey in Ekman Larson. So I think their defense core is decent. They need some of their younger guys to step up on defense and give them more than say, one pairing back there. But I think that they're a real dark horse, and I think they take a big step forward from last year. I still have them in sixth in the division, but I think it's a very competitive sixth, and I think they're knocking on the door of making the playoffs.
I can see that. I still think they're a year away from knocking on the door, but I do think that this team is going to be a team that gives people a lot of trouble all year, even if they don't win, and I don't know that they have enough offensively or even the depth defensively to win games based on talent every night in and night out. But I think that obviously Raanta is going to steal some games for them because he is definitely an improvement over Mike Smith. And I do like the younger guys you were talking about, obviously, in Domi and Duclair. I would like their bottom six is pretty bad, and I don't think Luke Shen and Kevin Connaughton are scaring anybody on defense. So I don't know if they're going to push for a playoff spot like you think they might, but I do think that they're going to play teams a lot tougher than we've seen in the last couple of years.
I honestly think they fall short at the end of the day, but I think they're going to be a lot better.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right. Our next team is an intriguing team, and that's Vegas, because they are carrying 11 forwards right now, 9 defensemen, and 3 goalies. They just picked up Malcolm Subban off waivers, meaning they have to keep him on the team or put him back on waivers and give him back to the Bruins. They also have sent some of their best players down to the minors because they don't need waivers to go down, and that's Vadim Shipachov at center and Shea Theodore on defense. Those guys are in the minors merely because this team has too many players because of the rules of the expansion draft, and they don't want to lose those players for free on waivers. So they are keeping them around and waiting to try and make some trades early in the season. So Vegas is a team to watch to continue to make some early season trades. That said, I think they are as good as Marc-Andre Fleury can get them to be. I think he steals just enough games that they are ahead of the Vancouver Canucks in the division and are maybe, you know, fifth or sixth worst team in hockey, but not really a threat to anyone to make the playoffs or anything like that. What do you think about Vegas, Dave?
I think you're pretty spot on. It'll be interesting to see. I think this team is a team that's more intriguing to me from a fantasy standpoint than from a regular. I'm just curious to see who's going to click with who, because we've never seen any of these guys play together. We have no history of them. I think that there's all the young guys that are going to either prove something or get traded or whatnot. So I think the personnel changes on this team to me are more interesting and seeing what's going on with that than the actual, you know, team on and off the ice every night. So, but aside from that, I will say that anytime we see an expansion, you'll definitely see some exciting games. Generally, expansion means higher offense, so we can thank Vegas for doing that. Every time there's been an expansion, we see improved offense throughout the league, because they take all these players that are good from other teams, and then every team gets weaker. So I thank them for that, and I am excited to see them play. I'm hoping to go to Vegas to watch a game this season. But, yeah, I don't really have much expectation for them on the ice.
Yeah, I probably will not make it to a game in Vegas this season, but it's definitely something I want to do in the near future, is go to Vegas for a hockey game. Our thoughts, of course, go to the people of Vegas this week, and after the horrible events on Sunday night. So, you know, that's one thing that kind of I think we have to say with what's going on in Vegas right now.
Yeah, I think that, you know, one of the great things about sports, and you know, I don't want to get on a soapbox here, but I really think sports at times is such a great thing for communities, and you see people rally together, and it's a dumb game and we play it for fun and we watch it for fun, but there is something so uniting about having that commonality between people in a community that, you know, when a team hasn't or a city hasn't had that before, I think you're really going to see this team helped the community as much as the community helps them, you know, and I think it'll be great. And it'll be great to watch that. It's terrible what happened, and how I don't want to say that this is going to help improve Vegas or something in some way. I don't mean it like that. I'm just saying, I think that the team can definitely help a community in a time like this.
Yeah, I agree. And we've actually got an excellent article coming out tomorrow morning that I edited before this show. That you'll want to read. I believe Johannes Whedon wrote that for us, but I'm not 100% sure it was him. I believe it was. He wrote, whoever wrote it, it's an outstanding piece on Vegas and how the Golden Knights can help heal the community following this week's events. So I do encourage everyone to check that out. A really, really moving piece talking about a number of instances where sports teams have helped communities. Of course, probably the most famous is the New Orleans Saints and Hurricane Katrina. But there's a number of other instances he points to and goes through the history of things like that. So a very good article that I encourage our listeners to check out tomorrow. Lastly in this division is the Vancouver Canucks. It's a bad hockey team. I know they've added a lot of pieces. I know they added Thomas Vanek and Michael Delzato and Sam Gagne, but to me, this is a bad hockey team that's going to make a lot of moves, and it's going to be in the lottery hunt again. What do you think, Dave? Is there any hope in Vancouver?
No. I mean, your two best players are old, and credit to them for not going anywhere, even though I know it's hard to move them, but I mean, is there anybody on this team you're excited to watch other than Bo Horvat and maybe Chris Tanev?
Brock Besser. Easily Brock Besser. Another Calder candidate for me. But yeah, overall this team's bad. The best thing I can say about Vancouver, Jim Benning has learned how to be a GM in the last 6 months, and there's light at the end of the tunnel because of some of the moves that he's started to learn how to make. I do like some of his trades at the trade deadline last year. I do like some of his off-season moves. And what he's done to put the team together. I do like his draft this year, but as for this season, this team's going to be bad.
Do you think that you think that they get more or less than 69 points this season?
I think they're going to be less.
Are they going to be worse than last year?
Yeah.
I think so, too. I think they're going to be the worst team in the league unless somehow.
I still take Colorado, but I'd take Vancouver second and Detroit third.
The only reason I think Colorado might be better is their young guys, their talented guys, I think are a little bit better if they live up. I mean, McKinnon, Landeskog, Duchesne, Barry, Johnson, all those guys I think are better skill-wise at this point in their careers than the guys on Vancouver. But I think Colorado's such a mess that who knows if the Sedins just have some magic left in them for 1 year to do something. I mean, but yeah, there's nothing particularly optimistic this year. But I do agree with you that it seems like their management is getting a little better. It seems like some of the moves they made recently have worked out in their favor, too, so...
I think the most intriguing thing to watch in Vancouver, and I know they have publicly said they don't want to be traded to another team, but if that stance changes at the trade deadline, who would be interested in the Sedins? Who would have the cap space to take on both of them?
Montreal.
Not that I'm saying it'd be a good move for the team, but they just would have the cap space to put those guys on the team. And what could they get for the two Sedins at the trade deadline if they're willing to go, you know? That's the most interesting thing to watch in Vancouver for me.
All right. We're running a little long. Got to get out of here. But I do want to ask you, and we want to get predictions real quick. So rapid fire here. Give me your 8 teams out of each conference and your Stanley Cup winner. And conference winners, I'll say.
Okay. The Cup, I've got Pittsburgh over Anaheim. My teams in the conference, I've got Pittsburgh, Washington, Columbus, the Rangers, the Carolina Hurricanes, the Montreal Canadiens, the Tampa Bay Lightning, and the Toronto Maple Leafs making the playoffs. Out west, I've got Anaheim, Edmonton, Calgary making the playoffs in the Pacific. And I've got Nashville, Dallas, St. Louis, Minnesota, and Chicago making it in the Central. Those are my playoff teams, and my cup again. My finalist is going to, I'm going to say, Pittsburgh over Montreal in the Eastern Conference Final. Anaheim over Nashville in the West, and Pittsburgh over Anaheim for the cup. Connor McDavid, MVP.
Sounds good. All right. I got Pittsburgh again as well, but I'm going to say that they lose in the final to Nashville this time. I think Nashville's going to come out there. As far as conference goes, I'm going to go Nashville. And I will take a wild, not really a wild card, but I'm going to take Edmonton. And then I can't do the Ducks, sorry. Anyway, and then I'm going to take Pittsburgh and I think Tampa Bay in the East. As far as my standings go, I'm going to go Pittsburgh. I'm going to go Columbus, Washington, and the Rangers. And then I'm going to go Tampa Bay, Toronto, Montreal. And I am going to say Carolina. That's tough to say, but as far as in the West, I with you as far as Anaheim, Edmonton, and then I'm going to say San Jose, Los Angeles. And in the West, or in the Central, I should say, I'm going to go with Nashville, Dallas, St. Louis, and Chicago. I'm going to say somehow Minnesota blows it because it's Minnesota. So, and finally, real quick, give me your trophy winners. Give me Hart Trophy.
Hart and Art Ross go to Connor McDavid.
Agreed.
Vezina goes to Carey Price. The Norris goes to Victor Hedman.
Oh, you took mine.
And the Patrice Bergeron Award, the Frank Selke, goes to Patrice Bergeron once again. Even though I have them missing the playoffs, I still think he wins that award. And anything I'm missing here?
Give me your Jack Adams and Maurice Richard.
Jack Adams, I think, goes to Bill Peters in Carolina because it's always the team that comes from nowhere to make the playoffs who gets it. And Rocket Richard winner this year will be Patrick Laine.
I am going to also go with Laine this year if he stays healthy the whole time. I'm going to go with Peter Laviolette. I think Nashville is going to be better than last year and win that division. And I think I agree with you on Connor McDavid and the Norris. I think Victor Hedman should be the front runner right now. And what did I miss? Oh, Jack Vezina. Adams? Yeah. Oh, Vezina?
Vezina.
Oh, man, it's hard to go against Carey Price. But if anybody's going to... Nope, got to go with Carey Price. That's a lame answer, but I'm doing it. It's so the easy answer, though. And obviously, Patrice Bergeron. Anyway, I got to get out of here, though. We're almost at an hour and a half, and it's been fun. We'll do this again next week. Is there anything else you want to say? What do you got going on over there? And last word.
We got that excellent Vegas article tomorrow. We've done season previews for all 30 teams. Our usual analysis, a lot of contracts, a lot of things have gone down in the last couple days, trades, minor trades. We've looked at all of that stuff, but we'll be doing the top 100 prospects soon. You can check out our team prospect rankings as well on the site. And then we'll get into looking at the 2018 draft next. So always something going on at Last Word on Hockey and Last Word on Hockey Prospects.
Sounds good. Also, if anybody stops by our hockey on Reddit, tomorrow we have Dmitry Flopik from Sportsnet stopping by to do an AMA. I don't know what we got going on next week, trying to get a few guys. So who knows? We'll see. But I love you all.
All right, and Connor McDavid has just scored his first goal of the season, and we'll sign off with that.
Shocking.
All right, good night, Dave. Have a good one.
Later. You too.